Case number 21-2605, Mahindra & Mahindra Limited et al. Versus FCA US LLC. Arguments not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Due to a technical issue, the beginning of this argument was not recorded. We apologize for the inconvenience.
Apply the test. And two, the reason he didn't apply the test is because of estoppel. Essentially, he found that there is no estoppel from the ITC in its ruling to decline the safe distance rule in view of its infringement finding. But then he goes and says, well, in my discretion, I'm really just going to rely on the ITC. So he has used his discretion to sort of do an end around estoppel.
Didn't he also talk about the procedural posture? Wasn't part of that decision that where you have a motion for an initial permanent injunction rather than a contempt proceeding, that also cautions against applying the rule? Wasn't that part of his logic?
Yes, it does. He did say it cautions against it. His real ruling was based on the likelihood of confusion standard in the ITC, which would be error because it's a more restrictive standard. But to your point, Judge.
Error because it's what?
That would be error because it's a different standard. The likelihood of confusion standard is a more restrictive, less protective standard. So if you say the safe distance rule doesn't apply because of that lower standard, you move the threshold down lower. For the contempt proceedings, it's clear from Intellectual Ventures that it's not just contempt proceedings. It most often comes up in contempt proceedings, Your Honor, if you think about it, because a redesign doesn't come around until after a district court finds there's infringement and you have an injunction. So then you do a redesign, and you come back, if you could have good intent, but the parties disagree about whether it avoids the injunction, and it's done in contempt. This is kind of like it, but we had two parallel processes. We had a finding of infringement from the ITC, and then the judgment granted bringing infringement into the district court. If this was all done in the district court, we would be in a contempt situation. So he does caution against it, but you can take a look at Intellectual Ventures. It makes clear that the safe distance rule happens after someone is proven an infringer. It just so happens that most of the time they are proven an infringer and then there is contempt. The main point of
I'm still struggling a little bit with the whole concept of the standard that's applied here. I know your briefing argues that the district court kind of bowed to the legal conclusions of the ITC, but in fact, wasn't what the district court did take a serious look at the factual conclusions from the ITC and I think the finding itself particularly was the of the many factual distinctions between the post-2020 Roxor, is that right, and the Jeep trade dress, that the average purchaser will certainly know that the post-2020 Roxor is not a Jeep merely by looking at it straight on. Is that not, why wasn't that enough on a factual basis to caution against applying the safe distance rule?
First, looking at it straight on, this is not a grill, a front grill trade dress. It's an overall appearance. So front, side, three-quarter view. And it doesn't take into account, Your Honor, the ITC was not taking into account the lingering confusion already caused by the original infringement. The only thing that takes into account the lingering confusion by the original infringement is the consumer survey we did that garnered 19% confusion. So while the judge in the ALJ may think that there are differences that the consumers will recognize, that the only objective evidence of what consumers actually think of what they how they view this is the consumer survey evidence that's been credited.
Well, let me ask you, you take the position that that statement by the ITC was a clearly erroneous finding?
In In this case, Your Honor, we accept all the facts. That fact should come in. The 19% survey should come in. Our fame should come in. All the facts from the IPC should come in. The likelihood of confusion standard, the legal conclusion, should not come in. And Judge Drain, we would ask you guys to send it back down to Judge Drain and have him look at all those facts through the Taubman test, where he looks to see whether there are any characteristics that are carried over that relate to the Jeep trade dress that do not put the public on notice that the two are unrelated. So we accept all the facts, including that one from the ITC, but we believe he should open up the safe distance rule test from Taubman and look at all those facts and then come to a conclusion. That would be his discretion.
When you say you accept that fact, you're saying you accept that if you look at the front, you can see the difference, but you don't accept the conclusion that anyone looking at the two would, looking at the overall, let's say you don't look at the front, you're driving by, you see it on the side, or you, that's your first approach to it. You're yes. saying that you yes, wouldn't Your Honor. See the difference.
As a matter of issue preclusion, all the facts from the ITC are going to count when we look through the different legal standard of the safe distance rule. So I have to accept that straight on is different. But of course, I think that it is close enough and not different enough from the overall appearance. And I know that from the 19% consumer survey that's unrebutted. That is the only evidence that takes into account lingering confusion, which is important under the safe distance rule, and the overall appearance of the vehicle. Judge Drain should consider that and balance it against the fact that the front view is very different. Along with fame, along with overlap of products, the other facts that the ITC had found, but used that no one has used, not the ITC and not the district court, no one has used the safe distance rule standard, which we believe, since we proved infringement and there is lingering confusion in the marketplace, we're entitled to under Broderick and Taubman and their later cases. I see I am out of time, Your Honors.
And you'll still have your rebuttal.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Mary Hyde. I represent the appellees Mahindra. I'd like to start by first addressing a theme that was running through FCA's argument here this morning, which is that the safe distance doctrine is a standard, a test that needs to be applied. That's a gross mischaracterization of the safe distance doctrine. It's not a standard. It's not really a rule at all. FCA's interpretation that the doctrine is a standard of universal application would mean really a fundamental and unwarranted shift in trademark law. As importantly here, though, and it's something that Judge Stranch addressed this morning, is that Under the safe distance doctrine, a prior infringer can satisfy that doctrine by choosing a design that is so far removed from any characteristic of the plaintiff so as to put the public on notice that the two are not related. And I'm quoting language there from the Innovation Ventures case, which came up multiple times this morning. Here, three fact finders have found that there are so many differences between the post-2020 Roxor redesign here and the Jeep trade dress that the average purchaser certainly will know immediately that this vehicle is not a Jeep merely by looking at it straight on.
Counsel, let me interrupt you for a second. No one has applied the safe distance factors, let's call them factors. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor. That's not correct for two reasons. One is the safe distance doctrine isn't a test with factors that need to be applied. Secondly, the district court did in fact consider the doctrine here. It wasn't required to, but it did consider the doctrine. It ordered briefing on the issue. It had oral argument on the issue. It then issued a 28-page decision, of which 7 pages are discussing the safe distance doctrine and finding, based on the fact findings that were developed in the robust ITC modification proceeding, that the post-2020 rock soar should not be enjoined under that doctrine.
It didn't really apply the doctrine. Look through the district court opinion. The court says it, page ID 45226, it declines to apply the safe distance rule in this matter at this time. Later on, it declines to apply the safe distance rule in the present matter. It just seems that there's clear evidence that the district court did not, in fact, apply the safe distance rule. And I think that's the complaint of your adversary, not that he might not lose if it was applied, but that the court is required to apply it. So how do you respond to that issue?
Well, Your Honor, we would disagree that the court didn't consider the doctrine. But, you know, as importantly, the court wasn't even required to consider it here, particularly under these facts, where we have a robust modification proceeding at the ITC, where the ITC went through all of the DuPont factors and developed a strong evidentiary record regarding the post-2020 rock soar. This is not the usual type of case in which the safe distance doctrine is applied. The purpose of the safe distance doctrine is really to allow courts to avoid having to conduct the likelihood of confusion analysis over and over again when bad actors make only small, tiny, incremental changes to their marks or products. That's not the post-2020 rock soar, and that's not what happened here. 3 tribunals have credited testimony from Mahindra that its goals in redesigning the post-2020 rock soar was to eliminate any possible question of a relationship between Mahindra and FCA and to avoid the asserted Jeep trade dress. And 3 tribunals have found that Mahindra succeeded there. They all found that there are so many differences between the post-2020 rock soar and the Jeep trade dress that the average purchaser certainly will know immediately that this vehicle is not a Jeep merely by looking at it straight on. Those are
factors. Does the district judge have the discretion not to consider that
factor? I'm so sorry, Your Honor. I couldn't hear that.
Does the district judge have the discretion not to consider those factors?
Your Honor, yes. The district court has discretion not to consider the safe distance doctrine at all. Here it did, in addition to the robust process that occurred at the ITC. FCA has really gotten even more process than it was entitled to on the post-2020 rock soar.
I don't think you got the gist of my question. Can the district judge disregard what the underlying agency said and use its own discretion?
The district court could have done that here, but the district court is also entitled to rely on the factual findings of the administrative agency. That's not a controversial point. It's not something that FCA disputes here. FCA doesn't dispute the fact findings here. It made that clear in its argument this morning. And the district court was entitled to rely on those, and it did. And what the district court, it's important to note here, FCA kept mentioning the district court's alleged reliance on the legal conclusions of the ITC, but that's not correct. The district court relied on the factual findings, and it's important to note here that the factual record in the ITC and the district court is exactly the same. The legal standards might be different, but the facts are the same.
Counsel, two things. One, you seem to insist that the court applied the clear distance rule. Where does it say that?
Your Honor, the district court's decision makes clear at, and let me find the page, the analysis begins on page 7 pages of the district court's 28-page opinion that that address the safe distance doctrine, and the district court specifically considered the doctrine in its analysis. And again, it wasn't required to do so. This is really icing on the cake for FCA.
So when you say considered the doctrine, you mean talked about it, not applied it.
And I think it's important to know,
yes,
Your Honor.
No. Yes or no?
The district court considered the doctrine, declined to apply it to enjoin the post-2020 Roxor here. So it declined to use the doctrine to enjoin the specific vehicle despite the all the findings that occurred at the ITC and the finding that it shouldn't be enjoined there.
Oh. And what about the ninth? Finish up and I'll ask afterwards.
But you can see that the court made no findings on that doctrine. The court didn't say this design is it satisfies the clear distance test.
The court did not specifically state it in that way. It said that it declined to apply the safe distance rule to enjoin the post-2020 Roxor. So the way in which the district court was declining to quote unquote apply the doctrine was specifically for purposes of enjoining the post-2020 Roxor. And really that's what FCA is advocating for here. It's not that the district court should have applied a doctrine and didn't. It's that the district court should have weighed the facts differently and enjoined the post-2020 Roxor. But the standard here is abuse of discretion. And here the district court did not abuse its discretion. The post-2020 or the safe distance doctrine is really an extension of the district court's equitable powers to craft and enforce injunctions. And so here, the district court was crafting an injunction to enjoin, in the same opinion, it addressed the 2018-2019 Roxor. The parties agreed that vehicle should be enjoined, but decided nevertheless not to use the safe distance doctrine to enjoin the post-2020 Roxor. And it was well within its discretion to do that.
Okay, and the cases you rely on to say that it's discretionary, is there anyone in particular or just the notion that it's an equitable doctrine that you can apply or not?
There's no case that stands for the proposition that FCA is arguing here, which is that the safe distance doctrine is a mandatory doctrine. All of the cases talk about it in terms of being a discretionary doctrine, including Innovation Ventures. And there really is no case, particularly under these facts, where a court of appeals has said there's been a likelihood of confusion analysis. There's been a well-developed factual record regarding the proposed redesign here. Nevertheless, you need to, despite all these factual findings, finding that the post-2020 Roxor is so different from the Jeep trade dress that no purchasers are going to believe that they're related by looking at it straight on. There's no case that says that despite all that, a court needs to go ahead and apply the safe distance doctrine to nevertheless enjoin that vehicle.
Well, I don't think they're arguing that the court has to nevertheless enjoin the vehicle. I think what they're saying is that there's a difference between saying that there's discretion in the application of the doctrine and saying that the doctrine is optional.
They're saying two things, Your Honor. One is that it's a standard of universal application, which it isn't. And in their reply brief, FCA repeatedly says that, you know, the survey in particular mandates that this vehicle be enjoined. They use the word enjoined. There needs to be an injunction issued against this vehicle. So in their reply brief, they're a little more direct about what it is they're really seeking here. But again, the standard is abuse of discretion. And this is really an application of the court's equitable ability to craft injunctions under its equitable powers.
With the distinction between the standards of review, why wouldn't the 19% survey confusion rate play a more prominent role in the district court's determination?
Your Honor, I'm glad you brought up the survey. This consumer survey is just one piece of evidence going to one of many factors in the likelihood of confusion analysis. There's no authority that states that a survey alone is a substitute for the likelihood of confusion analysis or for any analysis under the safe distance rule for that matter. More importantly, the authority states that surveys that go below 20% need to be viewed against the backdrop of other evidence. That's McCarthy, section 32:188, and citing cases there. This is what the ALJ, the full ITC, and the district court all did. They all specifically addressed the survey against and considered that against the backdrop of the voluminous other evidence that weighed against confusion. And so this appeal really should be dismissed for at least three reasons. First, as we've been discussing, FCA grossly mischaracterizes the safe distance rule. It's not a standard that the court failed to apply. It's not a rule at all. FCA's interpretation that the doctrine is a standard of universal application would mean a fundamental shift in trademark law. Second, the district court's decision not to enjoin the post-2020 Roxor is well supported by the evidence and was not an abuse of discretion. Third, the whole premise of FCA's appeal is false. FCA says that the district court did not consider the safe distance rule. It did. The court's opinion here makes that clear. And to conclude, the district court did not abuse its discretion in declining to enjoin the post-2020 Roxor under the safe distance doctrine. It was well within its discretion to make that determination. Again, three fact finders have found that there are so many differences between the post-2020 Roxor and the Jeep trade dress that the average purchaser will certainly know immediately that this vehicle is not a Jeep merely by looking at it straight on. The district court's decision should be affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. First, let me be crystal clear. We're not asking for this panel to enjoin the post-2020 Roxor. What we're asking this panel to do is to remand the proceedings back to Judge Drain and ask him to apply the safe distance rule. So he would look at the facts, the ones that are good for me, the ones that are bad for me, and weigh them, and in his discretion decide whether to enjoin the post-2020 Roxer in view of the lingering confusion that we already showed was in the marketplace from the original vehicle. Second, Mahindra's counsel again says that the safe distance rule isn't required. I respectfully disagree. Broderick says, and I quote again from 354, the defendant had organized and built up a business based upon a fraudulent appropriation of what belonged to plaintiff. That's what happened to us. Their entire business was this one infringing vehicle. To permit them to continue without interruption into the full scope of identity permitted to an honest competitor would be to preserve for them a goodwill acquired through fraud. That's what also has happened to us with the redesign. This quote shows that the standard is different. They don't get to have the same likelihood of confusion standard that's for an honest competitor. Then it goes on and says the due protection of trademark and similar requires that a competitive business, once convicted, should thereafter be required to keep a safe distance away from the margin line, even if that requirement involves a handicap as compared with those who have not been disqualified. That is required as mandatory. I don't see how I can read that and go to a client and say the judge has discretion whether you get this right or not. And when I look at Intellectual Ventures and even ECI Moss, you can take a look at 644 when ECI Moss in 2020 does it. They also don't say it's discretionary. They talk about it as if it's a. They talk about it as if it's a right. Third, Judge White, you're 100% correct. The judge did not consider it. The standard, as my co-counsel said, was: is it so different in characteristics as to put the public on notice that they're not related? You won't find those words in Judge Drain's opinion. He didn't look at it. He also doesn't say that he considered whether the redesigned Roxer stays a safe distance away from the Jeep trade dress, or that it does. One of the two. He simply says, "I'm not applying it." That's true. There is no case with this posture. I concede that we have a parallel proceeding with the finding of non-infringement, and we're asking for the safe distance rule, which permits injunctions beyond just likelihood of confusion. But there's also, if this vehicle is allowed to be sold and not viewed by the safe distance rule, there won't be another case in the country where a vehicle that garners 19% confusion in a unchallenged, have to be accepted consumer survey that takes into account lingering confusion, because these people were polled, they were given the survey after the original infringement. The survey was accepted by the ITC. There is not another case in the country anywhere where a vehicle with 19% confusion, a product with 19% confusion, is allowed to continue to be sold in an environment of lingering confusion. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you both. Very interesting. And the rest of the cases have been or will be decided on the briefs. You can adjourn court.
This honorable court is now adjourned.